Nachman, Mr. Nachman Lentz for sponsoring. And want to begin the shiur, give the shiur on the topic of Pidgin HaBen. This is actually the third time we've given a shiur on Pidgin HaBen. We gave it once before on Parshas Bamidbar and one other time on Parshas Bo. The truth is that there are three different parshas in the Torah that in this type of shiur we have, one could give a shiur on. One is Parshas Bo, which is in Shmos and Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel, where in general terms, the mitzvah of Pidgin HaBen and the obligation to redeem one's firstborn, v'chol b'chor b'necha tifteh, that's mentioned in Parshas Bo. We have our parsha, which we'll get to in a second, and actually from a strictly halachic perspective, the Chinuch and the Rambam and others actually seem to quote as the primary source, the Pasuk in Parshas Korach, which we'll read in a few weeks, in Bamidbar in Perek Yud Ches, where we're told some of the specifics of the mitzvah, including, for example, the five shkolim, which is a topic which we're actually going to discuss tonight a little bit as well. But beyond the Shmos, Bo, and Korach, looking forward and looking backward, another one of the places where there's lots of discussion of Pidgin HaBen is in our Parsha. And it's actually of the three representations, this is the one which actually has an interesting and exciting story. Because in Parshas Bamidbar, in our Parsha, we have the famous source, at least historical narrative source of Pidgin HaBen, and that is where, as a result of Chet Ha'Egel, the firstborns lost their Kedusha, and it was, and was given over as a servant, so to speak, to the Levium. But the Torah tells us that as a result, nevertheless, as a vestige of that, there still has to be a Pidgin for Dorei Doros, which we've seen in other Parshas. But the story which we have in our Parsha, which is very fascinating, is that each Levi came forth to displace one of the firstborns. However, there were 273 more firstborns than there were Levium. And it makes sense that you have more firstborns than you would have Levium, because any family in any tribe could have a firstborn son. But Levium is just the Levium. And the Torah tells us, what are you going to do for these 273? How are they going to be redeemed? So the Torah tells us that they gave 5 coins to Moshe, who then transferred those coins, each one of them, the 273, to the Kohanim, Benesata, Sakasev, La'aron, Uvanov. They gave the coins for those 273 to be po to them, and that is also, obviously, that's the first example of Pidgin HaBen. So, what I want to do is to divide the shiur up, broadly speaking, into two parts. The first part, and then everything else. The first part I want to discuss is the following. We have a story, a historical source, for the Pidgin HaBen of Ben. It was unique historical circumstances. You had the original transfer of power, if you will, or Kedusha, from the firstborns to the Levium. And the question is, despite those unique factors, to what extent, if at all, could we use our Parsha, which is just a story, a once-in-a-lifetime story, could we use that as a makor for halachos of Pidgin HaBen? And I want to show you that there are three or four battlegrounds, if you will, in which this seems to be borne out. So in our Parsha in particular, if you take a look at the Ibn Ezra on Pasuk Mem Hei, the Ibn Ezra quotes, a short Ibn Ezra, but he quotes an anonymous group of scholars known as the Makhishim, in case you want to know how he feels about them. He calls them the Makhishim, right? You know, the Kaifrim. You know, so what did they say? The Makhishim said, you see this story where the Bechor, these extra firstborns, gave 5 Sloim to Moshe to give to Kohanim. But that's the Makor, they held this group, Ariyom Azeh, that you give 5 silver coins for Pidgin HaBen. And Ibn Ezra goes nuts. He says, what are you talking about, Chalila, to say that you can't learn a halacha l'dorei doros from this once-in-a-lifetime story in Parshas Bamidbar? It is 5 Sloim. That's not because of what was here. Rather, that's a Mesorah. That's just, we have a Torah Shabbal Pem Mesorah. He doesn't use the term of Halachah Moshe Sinai. I think he uses the term of Mikabalah. But he means a Mesorah that we have that there's 5 Sloim.
Didn't it have to do with Yosef,
maybe in some philosophical. Huh? Okay, maybe if they, that might be a philosophical. That's not what the Torah says. The Torah never says that. So, you see from this debate between these anonymous Machishim and Ibn Ezra, to some extent the debate is really hinging on whether you could use our Parsha as a source. Now the truth is that the whole Machlokas is very, very schwer, because the truth is that if you take a look in Parshas Korach, it's beferish, there's a pasuk that you did 5 Sloim. So why would the Machishim look at our Parsha as a makor when there's a tivoy, you know, there's a halachic pasuk in Korach, and why would the Ibn Ezra make up this idea of some mesora when he also has a pasuk staring him in the face 15 frakim later? That's a good kasha. And if you have, you know, there was one of the classic svarim of, I'm not sure exactly how long ago it was, 19th century maybe, I'm not exactly sure, was the Parnes Yosef, which was like a kind of a kitchen sink catch-all, like a likud of stuff on the Parshas. And not long ago, one of the great Talmud Chachamim, Ger Chassid, David Mandelbaum, published the Parnes Yosef HaChorosh. Do we have that here? That's what we probably have the new one. That's the Parnes Yosef HaChorosh. He added, you know, new stuff. Right, that's the Parnes Yosef HaChorosh. So if you take a look at what Joey's holding, the Parnes Yosef HaChorosh, the new, he used the same style. He went in the signon of the Parnes Yosef, so he gave more marmakomas. If you take a look at our parsha, he has a whole discussion trying to fend for the Ibn Ezra and the Machishim, and how come everyone seemed to forget the pasuk in Korach. But I want to use it as a springboard. You see already this machlokas, if you will. The Ibn Ezra felt it was, you couldn't imagine that you would use our parsha as a halachic makor. But there's at least two, three examples in poskim, surprisingly enough, where you do see our parsha Bamidbar with the Levim in the Midbar, that is used as a halachic source. What are they? So a very, very interesting one. We spoke about this, I think, maybe in one of the, a few years ago, but either way, we'll review it in this context. And that is the following: could a father use a shaliach for pidyon haben, or does the father have to do it himself? And we have lots of mitzvahs where you're allowed to use a shaliach, and a lot of mitzvahs where you say a person has to do something himself. What is the mitzvah of pidyon haben? Do you have to do it yourself, the father, or can you give it to a shaliach? So the Ramban Yeridea quotes it in Siman Shin Hei, quotes a tshuva of the Rivash and Paskins like it, that you are not allowed to use a shaliach. You have to do it yourself. And he has a raya from the Nusach HaBracha, which is Al Pidyon HaBen, and one of the Kloli HaBrachos is that you use Al if it's a mitzvah that can't be done by a shliach. And the Lavush elaborates on this there, the Lavush in Yerodei, and he says essentially it's a mitzvah Shev Gufo, because it's really either the father or the son, but there's no middleman, and there's no one else, either the father or the son, and that's like a mitzvah Shev Gufo that can't be given over to shlichus. End of story. The Shach and the Taz both argue vociferously with this Ramah, and they say, of course you can use a shliach. Why shouldn't you be able to use a shliach? So you take a look at the Bir Hagra there, as well as the Panim Yafos. That's on the the Lavush, but not Lavush. The Panim Yafos is the Sefer Makna on Chumash. It's one of the famous halachic svarim. I'm having a mental blank. Forgive me. In his commentary on Chumash, the Panim Yafos. And the Malbim here on our pasuk, they all want to bring a proof, like to the Shach and the Taz. The Shach and the Taz are right that you can use a shliach against the Ramah, against the Rivashim. What's their proof? Our parsha, because the whole source, the historical source in our parsha for Pidyon HaBen is what? Not that the firstborns gave to the Levim. The extra firstborns gave their money to Moshe, and then Moshe gave the money to the Levim. So that, you see, they say that you can use a shliach. Of course, the larger point, which perhaps is what the Ramah would answer, is that they're bringing a proof from our parsha. Yeah, who said our parsha is a proof? But again, you see, at least from these three achronim and others, that that's one example, perhaps, where you could use our parsha as a source.
Why is Moshe considered a shliach in the Levim?
Well, he didn't, again, it's a good question. You asked, couldn't he have received it? I'm not sure the answer to that question. I'm not sure. I have to think about it. But Lamaisa, what happened was he then gave them out. He didn't just keep it.
So he was designed to collect it in and gave it out to the rest.
I have to take a look back at the. We'll both take a look on Shabbos, maybe more carefully than we have. I think it's clear. I think it's clear that he was just a middleman. You ask me why he could. Why he was just a middleman? That I'm not sure, but I think he was just a middleman. So. Just by the way, Agav, the Chasam Sofer says that even though we paskin really like the shach and the taz that you can do a shliach. Have you ever been to a pidyon haben where you use a shliach? He says the minhag really developed that we don't use a shliach even if we could, because just like Rabbanu Shalom killed the Egyptians directly, as we know, we say in the Haggadah, hu v'asmo hu v'lo shliach. So too, since that's the idea of redeeming firstborns, right? That was Makas Bechoros. So too, in Rapota the Bechor, we don't rely on our shliach. But anyway, the point is, that would be one example.
If the father's not available, then of course.
Again, well, that is the machlokas. That's the machlokas, right? Right, but the machlokas was b'di'evit. The Ramosas doesn't work b'di'evit. The Shach and the Taz say it does work, and the other Achronim give a proof for them from our parsha. That's one example against Ibn Ezra, where you see that you could use our parsha as a halachic source. A second one is the Alta Labavitch Rebbe, the Chuvas Tzemach Tzedek. The Chuvas Tzemach Tzedek, the Labavitch Rebbe, says the following. We know, typically, that a bris happens on the 8th day, and Pidgin Abed happens on the 30th day. Let's pick a nice case, not Lahachas or B'mezid. Let's say a boy is too sick to have a bris milah, but he can have a pidgin aben. Could you do a pidgin aben on a child that hasn't yet been circumcised? Usually, of course, you have a gemal, a good, you know, you have an RL. Can you do a pidgin aben on an RL? So the Tzemach Tzedek raises this kasha, and he says, he takes note of the fact that everything that happened in our parsha, which again, we see a pidgin aben happening in our parsha, that happened before any of these firstborns had a bris milah. How do we know that? The Parakeh of Sefer Yehoshua, it says that all of the children who were born in the desert did not have bris milah until they went into Eretz Yisrael. So we know that all these firstborns that Moshe is doing the exchange for in this parsha had not yet had a bris. And yet, so the Tzemach Tzedek, you see from our parsha, that they did do a bris, you did do a pidgin aben. So Nachamol, again, you see the Tzemach Tzedek that you can have a pidgin aben even before a bris milah. And of course, the larger issue from our perspective is that, again, now another example where you see our parsha is used by a posek as a halachic raya and makor. And the last example, which on some level is the most authoritative because it's a Gemara, but I saved it for the last because it's so bizarre, is the Gemara Menachos. The Gemara Menachos uses a proof from the word Gilgoles in our parsha in Pasuk Mem Zayin and Rebbe Chumash, that what if you have a bechor that is born with two heads? Do you have to do two pidgin abens or only one?
Does he have to get double or anymore?
Does he have to pay double or not? So the Gemara seems to say that the father would have to pay 10 shkolim, 10 silver coins, and the Gemara seems to base that on a pasuk from our parsha. So once again, you see again three different examples where against Ibn Ezra's assumption that you could never learn anything halachic from our parsha, and again, Ibn Ezra doesn't belabor the point or develop the point, but again, it's easy to understand where he's coming from. Because it was such a once-in-a-lifetime, unique circumstance. So a mass thing, that was the paradigm shift, shifting away from Shevet, from Bechor to Shevet Levi. And nevertheless, Ebenezer has a reasonable, plausible argument. But nevertheless, you see all these examples of Mar Mekomos, of Poskim, of Halacha, of Gemara, which are willing to look at our story as a Halacha source. So Ad Kan, Chelek Aleph of the Shir, which I just think is interesting. As I said, you could, and we have given a pidgin aben shir on other parshios, but everything we've done until now was unique to parshas Bamidbar. So now, for the rest of the shir, I want to discuss. We'll see how many things we can get to, but the main thing, at least, that I for sure want to get to now, is a question which probably with less depth than we'll do now. But actually, in the Maseches Kedushin shiurim on Shabbos a few years ago, we did give one shir on the topic. We saw the sources inside, but we're not going to see as many. So we didn't see as many sources as I'm going to share with you now, and that is the question of the relationship between the father and the son when it comes to the mitzvah. Who really is the bar chiyuvah? What is, again? And this is a dynamic which we've studied. I think I did it once on a Thursday night shiur. I certainly did it more in depth in those kiddushin shiurim. This is a parallel discussion to the one that the poskim have when it comes to bris milah. Right? The brisa in Maseches Kiddushin and Daf Chav Tes famously lists those mitzvahs haben al av, the different mitzvahs that a father has to do for his son. And two of them, which go, the companions are lomol es beno and liftos es beno. The father has to circumcise the son, and he has to do a pidgin aben. And the shaila is, you have, it's a kind of an interesting thing. There seems to be a mitzvah on lahasiyo isha or unus. There's no mitzvah in tayag for those things. You know, the Gemara says it's a mitzvah for the father to do it, but it's not a mitzvah d'ara. Here you have a mitzvah d'araisa of mila, you have of great significance. Who is the mitzvah? Who is the bar chayuvah in the mila? The father or the son? So, again, who is the bar chayuvah? The pidgin haben? The father or the son? So, let's discuss it. We will discuss, to some extent, mila, but really our focus on mila will just be to see to what extent it's a foil or a contrast. But our real focus, obviously, tonight is on pidgin haben. So, the Rambam in Hilchos Bikurim, Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Hey, says when the father does the pidgin aben, he makes a bracha, and what bracha does he make? Al. Al Pidyon HaBen. However, says the Rambam, if you have an older Bechor who has not yet had a Pidyon, he's a Gadol now, so he has to be Poda himself. You don't need a father, he does Poda himself. There you would say with a Luh, Liftos. But in a typical case, Mitzvah Av HaLaBen, the father is doing it, and you got the garlic and the bracelets and the silver tray, and officials, and you have everything. So in that case, says the Rambam, the bracha is Al. Sure, yeah. However, if you take a look at the exact parallel Rambam and Hilchos Mila, Perek Gimel, Halacha Aleph and Hilchos Mila, the Rambam says that what is the bracha that a father makes? Lomul. That's the Shitas HaRambam, is it's Lomul. The father would make, again, this is if the father is doing the bris. If the father is doing the bris, he would do Lomul, right? The Mitzvah HaBen Alav is to do the circumcision. So he did it, he would make the bracha of Lomul. So the Rivash, in the Tshuva, Siman Kuf Lamed Aleph, the Rivash very famously asked that these two Ramam seems to contradict each other. After all, we know Pidyon HaBen and Bris Mila, they go together, the Brisa lists them together, they're both referred to as Mitzvah HaBen HaLa'av, and yet the Rambam seems to contradict himself. It's Al Pidyon HaBen, and it's La Mul. Why the change in Nusach? So the Rivash gives a very lumdisha answer. If I didn't know it was the Rivash, I would have guessed it was an Achron of 100 years ago. The Rivash gives the following lumdisha answer, and he says it based on a third Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Brachos in Perek Yud Aleph, the very famous Perek, where the Rambam gives many of his klolei brachos and brachos and mitzvos, where the Rambam there says, when you're doing a mitzvah for yourself, you're doing your own mitzvah, let's take an example, you put up your own mezuzah, let's say, or you're shaking your own, you're shaking a lulav, you're doing a mitzvah for yourself, then, all things being equal, the nusach habracha is with a lamed. Look. But, says the Rambam, if it's one of those mitzvahs which can be done out by shliach, and you're said shliach, you're doing mitzvah for somebody else, then, all things being equal, you use the nusach of al. So, says the Rivash, apparently, Bris Mila and Pidyon HaBen are fundamentally different when it comes to this question. Whose mitzvah is it really? Apparently, you see from the Rambam, that Bris Mila is Lomul. What did the Rambam say to those brachos? Lamed is when you're doing your own mitzvah. You see that Mrs. HaBen Al Ha'av. He's a little yingala. He's 8 days old. He's not a Bar Chayuva. Obviously, the Chiyuv is the father's Chiyuv. Who gets the Kiyum? Cha-ching, it's the father. Who is Mavatal and Asay if he doesn't do it on the 8th day? The father, he is the Bar Chayuva. And therefore, when he does it, Lomul, because it's his mitzvah. However, 21 days later, it's your Mashlim Chodesh, and now the baby is ready for Pidyon HaBen, and the very same father gets his coin, and he says, here, I'm doing it, and he gives the 5 coins. That's the Maisa Mitzvah. Apparently, it's not his mitzvah. It's different. There, it's really, says the Rivash, the son's mitzvah. The son is only 30 days old. How can you expect him to take responsibility for it? And therefore, the father, ki'ilu, like a shliach, is standing in. He's doing the mitzvah. That's not his mitzvah. He's doing the mitzvah for his son. And therefore, says the Rambam, it's al Pidyon HaBen. Because it's not really his own mitzvah. It is his son's mitzvah. What does that mean? So that's why I guess shliach maybe is not the best analogy, because although even then, in a regular shlichus, let's say some other thing, kiddushin. Well, kiddushin, you have to own it. That's maybe a different thing. But the point is that you can use your own money. I didn't ask you to pay for me. As you could say, I'm not going to do it unless. But in theory, you could use your own money. I didn't ask you to do it for me. Well, it is like that, and we're going to get back to it. If shliach is not the right word, I don't remember if the Rivash used the word or not, and if it's going to get me into trouble, then I'd rather just ignore it. But the point is, the Rivash says that really, 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 if the son is the Bar Chayuva, it's just that he can't do it, so the father is doing it for him, but it's really the son's mitzvah. Whose Kiyama mitzvah is it? He's 30 days old? What? Perhaps his first mitzvah. Maybe if he let his parents sleep on Shabbos, the 32nd mitzvah. Not first month. But his first mitzvah is going to be Pidyon HaBen. It's not Bris Mila. That's the father's mitzvah. That's the chiluk that the Rivash suggests.
In order to formulate it that way in the language that you're using, I think you would really have to have a heavy sense of where
Why? Why? On the contrary, that's the point. It is his chiyuv, but since he can't do it, the father does it for him. No, I don't think so. I don't know where that term even comes from. Why is that a problem? I'm not trying to be standoffish. I don't understand. He can't do it, so the father does it for him. It's like if all of a sudden you're 10 years old and your great aunt gave you $5,000, you need your father to go set up the bank account and do it for you. It's still your money. But your father is doing what you can't do for yourself.
So maybe what Barry's saying is that can somebody else step in and do it?
That is a sugi in Masechus Kiddushin. What if the father doesn't do it? And that's a similar kasha. Yes. But the father has got the first. Again, that's why it's not. Maybe why shliach is not the right analogy, because it's not like in theory. You know, if the son could talk, like when I was a kid, right? How old were we? What was the name of that movie when we were kids? Where the babies talked? I don't remember. Anyway, huh? Okay, I'm not the one with the keys. So, if the child could talk, could he say, "I don't want my father"? You know, I want Uncle Harry. You know, no. The answer is in a chanan. So that's why it's not like a shliach where a person could pick anyone he wants. So that's why Shraga was touching on. It's a mitzvah haben al av, and the Gemara quotes a pasuk. The Gemara quotes a pasuk for chiyuv av. But again, the reverse is chiyuv av does not mean it's his mitzvah. I mean, it's his responsibility to make sure his son fulfills his mitzvah. Okay. So we're going to get to the money. It's its own point. So the Rivash has a proof, and it's a Gemara, also a Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara there says, let's say you have a father who was a Bechor, and no one ever did a Pinyon of Ben. And he has his own son who's now a Bechor, and he becomes a Baal Tshuva, and all of a sudden the rabbi tells him, you know, there's this thing called Pinyon of Ben, you probably never had it. And what are the odds? Yes, I'm a firstborn, natural birth, both parents are Yisraelim. Well, we got to do Pinyon of Ben. He's only got 5 silver coins. Who should come first? So there's a Gemara in Bechoros and a Gemara in Kiddushin. And Agav, there's a very nice sefer on Masechta Bechoros called Reishis Koach, my good friend Rabbi Tzvi Sabalovsky. He points out that there's a very subtle difference in the Nusach between the two Gemaras, and he has a whole Torah based on that, Ayin Sham. But for our purposes, we'll keep it simple. The Gemara, for all intents and purposes, in both Bechoros, but we'll quote the Lashon of the Gemara in Masechta Kiddushin. The Gemara there says, Mitzvah Degufei Adif. He should use the money on himself. Mitzvah de gufei adif. Oh, says Rivash. You see from there, if it was really the father's mitzvah, then it wouldn't be one. They're both gufei. They're both his mitzvah. You see from this Gemara, a proof that really, one is he's doing the mitzvah for his son, but it's his son's mitzvah. One is he's doing his own mitzvah. And when there's push comes to shove, that is a illustration of the priority.
But there would be no obligation for the father to do the
pinyon
on the son, because the father was
that pinyon,
so he's
tempted. Who said? No, that's not true.
Right?
No. Joe Yisrael, who didn't have pinyon of Ben, is not a Kohen if he doesn't have...
No,
it doesn't work that way. That's the historical trade we read about in our parasha, but it's not that. No, you could do it. You could do it. Leave aside the Cohen point. Before you got to that, I was thinking that I wasn't sure. If a father didn't have a pigeon aben, could he do a pigeon aben? Right? In Mila, we have a discussion, right? And could an RL do a Mila? Right? That's a discussion. That's a sugya. Just the same sugya about a guy. And so Shaila is a woman called an RL. She didn't have a Mila, but she didn't need one. That's a sugya Masechta Avodah Zarah by a Mila. I don't know offhand. And the mashmos of the Gemara, though, the clear mashmos of this Gemara is that he could have. You know, in theory, had there been a countervailing reason, then we might have said 5 svarim go first to the son. And I want to add one more point, which will... That's his proof. Now, the Rivash adds another point, which, as we'll see, is controversial, in that there's no Gemara, and other Rishonim dispute him. But the Rivash, he takes it for granted, so therefore, if it's for granted, then it's a proof. And that is the following. What if the boy is now over bar mitzvah? Is the father still chayiv or not? Mitzvah haben alav, he was a katan. But do you say once he's a gadol that the father is still chayiv? Or maybe now the son's chayiv in his own mitzvah and the father is no longer mechuyiv? And sure enough, the Rivash assumes that the davar pashat that's true. So if you assume that the Davar Pashut is true, what is that indicative of? It's indicative of the father who was just a custodian. Was it really his mitzvah? If it was his mitzvah, then what's the difference if the baby is 30 days or 13 years? But if it was only he's doing it for his son because his son's too young to do it himself, so once the son's old enough to do it himself, there's no more mitzvah. So the Rivash assumes that lahalacha number one, and it's a reasonable assumption, although it will be disputed. He assumes that. And number two is, if you assume it, it certainly you can make a very strong argument that's indicative of the same svar he's saying, which is that it's really, really the son's mitzvah and not the father's. So on this point, so this is where I want to mention, and we'll mention one or two different things from it now, to mention a very, very famous chiddush.
Why is pidyon haben the chiyuv on the person and bris of the chiyuv on the father?
I don't know. At the end of the, at the back of the griz, al Rambam, there are letters. We've mentioned some letters from the Rav, some letters from some other contemporary Tamir Chachamim, Chassam, other. So one of them, I forget which letter, but it has to do with a very esoteric thing in Kachim and the difference in Nesachim and Menachos, and the Shoel is writing, you know, maybe the Griz is a postulate of Chilik, and, you know, the Shoel is asking, you know, why should it be a difference, these two Karbanos? And the Griz there very famously gives you a methodology 101 on Brisker Lomdus, and he says, Bizal Loshen, basically, it's not my job to ask why, I just ask what. So that's you have that in the letter in the back there. So you've had others, or that's where Shemishkop and others, who were more open to the why question. That's like the Brisker Splinters. But the pure Briskers don't ask why. So for now, I'll plead pure Brisker.
You'll pass.
Not really, I don't think, but I'll plead it for now. So there is, speaking of Briskers, good segue, Birkas Shmuel is Rav Baruch Ber. Rav Baruch Ber has a very fascinating biography, for those not familiar. He was already a Talmud Chacham before he heard his first year from Rav Chaim. But he was so taken by Rav Chaim, the story goes, that he went and he ripped up all of his notebooks of Chidushim, and he sat himself to make himself a Talmud by Rav Chaim for the rest of his...
My Rebbe and T.A.
Rav Baruch Ber was a legendary genius. And he was basically roughly the same age as Rav Chaim's children, certainly the older children, I think, of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. I think he was more or less, if I'm not mistaken, I didn't look at the dates, but so that was his contemporary, that was his generation. Rav Reuven Grzovsky was his son-in-law. Anyway, he has multiple volumes, four volumes on Shas called the Birkas Shmuel, which are legendarily difficult to read. I'll tell you a quick story. Once in Shir, so somebody asked a question to Rav Rosenzweig based on a Birkas Shmuel, and everyone was sitting with bated breath what he would answer, and Rosenzweig's instinctive answer was, "You really understood what he said?" A flip side story is that in the real yeshivish yeshivas, he has become elevated to, like, there's more Ashitosis, there's, you know, Rambam, Rav Chaim, Birkas Shmuel. There were more copies of the Birkas Shmuel on the shelf, Shiva owned, on the shelf in Tells Riverdale than there were Chumashim. I mean, like 20 sets, and that's maybe only a slight guzma. So it's a very, I don't know that every one of these 14-year-old kids knows what they're reading or not, but it's very, very difficult to read. It was very difficult to read. But Lamaisa, if you can get through it, there's beautiful, beautiful Torah in the Birkas Shmuel. So one of the pieces which I'll be arrogant enough to assume that I actually did understand is Siman Yud Ches in Maseches Kiddushin. And in that piece, the Birkas Shmuel discusses a lot of stuff about Pidyon HaBen, and in particular, the Tshuva of the Rivash. And one of the things he does is, I mentioned that the Rivash assumes the Davar Pashut, that when you become Bar Mitzvah, the father is no longer Chayiv in Pidyon HaBen, and that's a Raya, that Pidyon HaBen, unlike Bris Mila, is really the Chiyuv on the son, not the father. The Birkas Shmuel, but the same thing is true by Bris Mila. He assumes, and there's certainly Makoros that support this, also, a boy hits 13, no Bris. So we know that the Gemara itself says that the Chiyuv comes on, the Chiyuv for the Ben. And in fact, if he doesn't do it, he'll have Kares. But the Gemara never discusses what happens to the father's Chiyuv. So in theory, you have two possibilities. Either the father and son are still Chayiv, or only the son is Chayiv. And the Birka Shmuel assumes that, and again, there's Makoros that support such a thing, and Rishonim, particularly, who pass in this way, the Rambam and Perashat Mishnayos and Mishnah Shabbos says it explicitly, the Michas Chinuch, who apparently didn't know of that Rambam and Perashat Mishnayos or forgot to quote it, but the Michas Chinuch is Mechavan to this as well, assumes that the same thing is true in Bris Milah, namely that when the boy hits 13, the father is no longer Chayiv. So if that's the case, there goes the Torah of the Rivash. The Rivash said because there's a difference between the two, and one of the ways we show the difference is that in Pidyon HaBen, the father is no longer Chayiv at 13. But how can you say, Rivash, that the father really is the Bar Chiyuva, which is why it's Lomul by Bris Milah, when even then the father loses his mitzvah at the age of 13? This is one of the beautiful questions that the Birka Shmuel asks in this piece. And he gives the following answer. And he says, you're right, in both cases, you lose. However, there's something that Pidyon HaBen has, which you might have thought connected the father. If it would really have been the father's chiyuv, it would have connected him. And the fact that it doesn't exist shows it's really not his chiyuv. And that is something which perhaps I thought it might have been getting at, and on some level was, and that was what Shraga was asking before. And that is that Pidyon HaBen is fundamentally different. There's not just a maisa mitzvah to do. There's also a chovas mamon. And there's a shibud. There's kofin ala mitzvos. It's not just that we'd make you do it. We would take money, we'd forcibly, you know, deduct from your account so that we could do the Pidyon HaBen if you, in theory. There's a shibud mamon. And therefore it says the Birka Shmuel the following kiddush. I might have thought that when the boy hits 13, he may have the chiyuv. But I still have a shibud on my money. The shibud that started when my son was 30 days old and I have not yet been, you know, fulfilled it. I might have thought that he still that shibud still exists. Kamash Malon, you see, by the absence of any mention of that in the poskim, that apparently after the boy turns 13, there's no shibud mamon. Now, where did that go? If I had an independent chiyuv mamon, what's it got to do with whether I have a mitzvah or not? The answer says the Birka Shmuel. No, you see from this that the shibud had no independent standing. That the shibud was only based on the chiyuv of the son. And once you no longer have responsibility to help the son fulfill his mitzvah, memeila, not only did the mitzvah go away, but so did the shibud. As opposed to, he assumes, if it would have been the father's mitzvah, the Torah's father's mitzvah, then even if the father would have lost his mitzvah, but that wouldn't have made the money disappear. The money disappeared also because it was never really in existence. It was never its own shibud. It was really just an outgrowth of the mitzvah HaBen. Ad kan, that chiddush. And he adds for the end of the piece, that he shared it with Reb Chaim, this chiddush, and Reb Chaim liked it. One more piece also that comes out of his discussion, and in light of this idea, and I want to show one or two more examples of this as well, time permitting, and that is the following. There's a Gemara in Masechta Pesachim, I've got Kuf Aleph Mabez, that Rabbi Simloi came to a Pidyon HaBen, and they asked him the Kasha, we know that the father makes the Birchas HaMitzvah, but who's going to make the Shechianu? The father, because he's doing the Mitzvah, or the Kohen, because he's getting Hana? Who should make the Pidyon HaBen? And in fact, the Gemara says Rabbi Simloi didn't know, but the other Chachamim there said, no, it's clear, the father makes both brachos. That's a Gemara. Comes along the Birka Shmuel and asks the question, I don't understand. According to the Rivash, it's not the father's mitzvah. It's really the son's mitzvah. And he's just a custodian for his son. So if he's just a custodian for his son, why would you assume that he should have any more shaychus to the Shechianu than anybody else? For example, the Kohen. The Kohen's also shaykh, and the Kohen's getting hana. It's an Indian for Shechianu. If you held that it's the father's own mitzvah, so that's why he has to do Shechianu. But if he's just a custodian, so why is he making the brachas a mitzvah, you might be thinking? Because he's doing the ma'isa mitzvah, and we always make the bracha based on the ma'isa mitzvah. But Shechianu, who said he should have made the Shechianu? According to the Rivash, it's not even his mitzvah, so why should it be so obvious to the Gemara, or why would the Gemara formulate that sad as that it's his mitzvah? Question that Birka Shmuel asks. A second question. The whole Torah that we just mentioned from the Rivash was based on the Nusach HaBracha. Lo versus Al, that the Rambam generally says, Lo is for your own mitzvah, Al is for someone else's mitzvah. The Rambam makes a similar chiluk in his discussion about Shehechiyonu. The Rambam also in Hilchos Brachos, Perakit Aleph, Halach Yud, the Rambam says that if you're doing a mitzvah for yourself, then you make Shehechiyonu. But you don't make Shehechiyonu when you're doing a mitzvah for somebody else. When you're doing a mitzvah as a shliach for somebody else, or in some other form, if you don't want the word shliach, doing a mitzvah for somebody else, you do not make a Shehechiyonu. So there's a very fascinating sefer called the Tshuvas Chut HaMeshulash. If you're familiar with that, Chut HaMeshulash is a combination, as the name implies, of three of the great early Rosh Hashivas of Valojin. I believe it's a combination of Rav Chaim Valojin, his son, and his son-in-law, or maybe there's a grandson there, I don't remember. But it's a combination. Not all of the tshuvas are from Rav Chaim Volozhiner, although many of them are, and others are from, I think there's a Rav Hillel, and there's a Rav Itzala was his son, I think there's a Rav Hillel was a son-in-law, I can't remember all the names. But that's Torah Volozhin is the tshuvas Chut HaMeshulash. So in Simin Ches of the tshuvas Chut HaMeshulash, it asks on the Rivash, I don't understand, and on the Gemara, especially. And that is that if you say that the father is really doing the mitzvah of his son, then he shouldn't be making a Shehechiyonu based on this rule of the Rambam. If you say that the father is really doing the mitzvah of his son, the Rambam himself says that you don't make a Shehechiyonu when you're doing a mitzvah for somebody else. And yet the Gemara says that the minhag is, or the maskan is, that the father does make the Shehechiyonu because mitzvah du gufei. Number one is, it's not mitzvah de gufei, according to the Rivash. That's the Berakah Shmuel's question. And number two is, whatever you want to call it, Lamaisa, according to the Rivash, he's doing his son's mitzvah. That's the diuk of Al. So it's a steer of Manoshach. If it's Al, he shouldn't make a Shehechiyonu. And if he's making a Shehechiyonu, it should be Lamed. If you put the two Rambams together in light of the Rivash's understanding of the Rambam, it doesn't make any sense. So the Berakah Shmuel answers both of these questions with the same yisod that he had. And it's interesting, if you take a look, I forget the os offhand, but the Rabbi Chanan in his Chedushim on Baba Basra also discusses this idea of Pidyon HaBen having two dinim. The mitzvah shebo, or the chalos, the status of the bechor, and the tzad mamon, the mamonist. So that's the same idea that we mentioned before from the Berakah Shmuel, the shibud mamon of the father, and his mitzvah, the kedusha, so to speak, part. So it says the Birkat Shmuel, you could use that to answer both of these questions when you add the following one hanacha. And with this we'll conclude. There's more to say, but hopefully there'll be more opportunities to say. The Rivash, the Rabbi Chanan has the following yisod, which he has proofs to, and that is that the bracha of Shehechiyonu is not based on a chiyuv. You don't have to have a chiyuv in order to say Shehechiyonu. You have to be in getting simcha. It has to be simcha. Right? We know that's the whole discussion with Bris Milah and Tzara Dianuka. Now again, it doesn't just mean simcha in a vacuum. We don't make a Shehechiyonu every time we have simcha. There has to first be a mitzvah, and it has to produce simcha. So says, and that's obviously a much lower level, but as long as there's some shaychus to a mitzvah, which is going to produce simcha, that's enough to say Shehechiyonu. That's the first hanacha that he makes, but he lowers the bar.
Yes,
right. I need to stay focused, okay? So he says, in such a case, that explains both of these here. Why does the father make Shehechiyonu? Because even if it's not his mitzvah, the way he puts it, it's not his chiyuv hamitzvah. But Lamai said there's a responsibility. The Gemara quotes a pasuk, mitzvah sa'av ala ben. He has a chiyuv. There's a pasuk that's quoted. That there's a certain kiyum that he has. Maybe that's not really his mitzvah. And according to the Rambam, if you're doing really somebody else's mitzvah, you wouldn't make a Shehechiyonu. But what he has is enough of a mitzvah. It's not like a shliach who's got nothing. If I'm a kaddish, a woman for you, I do another mitzvah for you. I get, other than doing you a favor, I don't get any shaychus to the mitzvah. But here the father is different. He's clearly different than a typical shliach. And because he's shaykh, again, it's a little bit amorphous, but I don't think he... Let's see if I can find it inside. But I don't think reading it... Let me just finish the thought, I'm sorry. And he says, in light of that, when you have a little bit of that connection, that's enough that the father's simcha, and what's his simcha? That he fulfilled his shibud mamon. Because he fulfilled the shibud, and if he hadn't done it, he'd have an outstanding shibud on his money. Because he fulfilled the shibud mamon, even though Enechanami, the chalosh sheba was really his son, and he's doing it for his son, but the shibud mamon it created was him. He's not going to go to his son at 13 and ask for the money. As he had a shibud mamon on himself, which was regenerated. And therefore, even though that's not the same thing as the full mitzvah, it's enough to get over that lowered bar for Shechianu. It's not enough to say lo, because it's not really his mitzvah. So it's not, in other words, what comes out is the basic question that we ask, the basic question that the Chutam HaShulosh, or Chayv HaLajan, or Beis HaLajan asked, is, it's a Maman of Shach. The Rambam, a lot of the Rivash, is Soser himself with his psak about the Birchas of Mitzvah lo versus al, and Shechianu. Says the Baruch Ber, no, it's not a steer because they're not based on the same thing. The Birchas HaMitzvah, the Mechayiv is the Mechayiv. The Chiyuv Mitzvah, the Maisa Mitzvah, that's the Chiyuv. So who's doing it? Is it your Mitzvah or is it someone else's Mitzvah? Lo versus Al. But the Shechianu, you don't need to have such a high bar. As long as you have some Shaychus to the Mitzvah and you get a Simcha from it, that's enough to say Shechianu. And therefore, that's why the Rambam could maintain that it's Al, even though it's really, because it's really the son's Mitzvah. And yet the father would still say, Shehechiyanu. Let me just see if I can find one key line here for Baruch Ber. I'll read you the Lashon. It's a very nice Lashon. The Lashon, I believe, is as follows. Chiyav pediya hu al haben. The chiyav of pediya is really on the son. Ela shahatora chayavto la'asos chovas peno. He has a responsibility to do his son's mitzvah. Kol zel eishai el inyin chiyav ha-mitzvah. Im nach kor ihav yachiyav pediya shel asma olo. That's a relevant question. If you want to know who's the bar chiyuv, whose mitzvah is it? Mash'ein, and that relates to the lover's al. Mash'ein kein im nach kor el inyin kiyam ha-mitzvah mekayim ha-av la'asmo. But does the father have some kiyam? Mitzvah al fa'av no? Vada, the father has some kiyum. Kevu shatara chayev alav, lift us beno, who poda, and he did what he's supposed to do. Shuma kayim, Mrs. Pigeon. The nims of the Mrs. Pigeon are ben, chia pedia, hu ala ben. The kiyum pedia, hu shalav. Mishamachia av mevarech shachayanu, hu mevarech baal. And that's not a stira. Yeah, I was looking for the paragraph. I missed it. One second. Here we go. I'm sorry. That was a good paragraph that I read, but I'll give you another one. He has a lush in here. Birch Shechianu ain't a tali b'chiyuv ha-mitzvah, el sheba al simchas kiyum ha-mitzvah. And therefore, even though Birchas ha-mitzvah is based on the chiyuv and who did that chiyuv, but Shechianu is enough. Birch Shechianu ain't a tali b'chiyuv, I have a chiyuv shel atmo or not. Ela imakayim laatmo doha eino tzuliy klal b'chiyuv ha-mitzvah kasher achachnu mashenkin brachas ha-mitzvah shehi baal chiyuv shel mitzvah toliyim hu ha-chiyuv shel atzma o lo. Okay, imirta Hashem, there's more to say another time, but otherwise what we saw was basically two major sugyas tonight. One was the discussion after the Eben Ezra of to what extent you can use our parsha as a halachic makor or not. Eben Ezra said no. We saw a few makors in Rishonim and a Gemara that said yes, and then we saw this big issue of who's really the bar chayuva of the Bris Mila versus Pidgin Aben, and as a related point, the Rivash and Bechash Shmuel, that was the Rivash of Shaila, and the Bechash Shmuel, as he's analyzing the Rivash, worked with that, but he also added a new element, which is to what extent is the mitzvah a mitzvah of Chalos or Kedusha, and to what extent is it also a din in Shibud Mamon. And once he was able to create those two perspectives, he was able to show that even according to the Rivash, that there's, we said it's the son's Chiyuv, that one din. But the Mamonis is still the father's, and therefore he gets a Kiyum when he does it, and that Kiyum will also be Simcha, which was a Nafkamina for Shehazi Yadav. I've got it.